Well, welcome to one of the all-time great weeks of the year. We get not only the Immaculate Conception at the beginning of the week, but a few days later we get the Our Lady of Guadalupe. I don't know if you noticed, something revolutionary happened that Donald Trump actually wrote a message officially talking about today's feast day, even though he's not Catholic. But he talked because he knows that there are a lot of Catholics in the U.S., and she is the patroness of the United States. So the Immaculate Conception is the patroness of the United States. He wrote a really beautiful letter. Obviously, some bishop wrote it for him, and he just signed it. He wrote a really beautiful letter about today's feast. And he also made mention, he said later on, a few days later, December 12th, is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So never before, to my knowledge, has a U.S. president come out and explicitly spoken about the Blessed Virgin Mary ever, you know, in a public statement like that. And he had no bones about saying, you know, Christian tradition says that she was the mother of Jesus, and this is actually what Catholics believe, you know, the Immaculate Conception, the whole nine. So I was impressed with that. For what it's worth, God must be doing something somewhere. So the question is, always, so what is the big deal about the Immaculate Conception? So rhetorical question. We know that the Immaculate Conception is that Jesus was conceived without sin in the Blessed Virgin Mary's womb, right?
Wrong!
Pagans. The Immaculate Conception was that the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived without sin. The Annunciation that we celebrate on March 25th was the incarnation of the Son of God, right? So, you failed your first test. All you cradle Catholics, how easy you are to trick. I guess, you know, whenever I always begin these homilies more or less the same way. Whenever we come up to one of these homilies, my brain starts churning, and it's always like, okay, this is beautiful, and I'm happy for Mary, but why is it a big deal, honestly? Why is it a big deal to you and me that she was conceived immaculately? Why did God go about doing that? Was it just because he said, you know what, I want to create a mother that's so beautiful and so perfect and so holy, which is all totally true, that, you know, go mom, yay. I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that. That alone would probably be worthwhile, but theologically, there's more meaning to it. And it goes back to the Garden of Eden, like most things do, which is why our first reading is actually from, first reading isn't saying anything here because it's just Gospels, but first reading behind me goes back to the Garden of Eden. Okay, let's go back to the very beginning. When God created humanity, Adam and Eve, he created a holy couple. They were conceived without sin. They were like angels in many regards. They were human beings, but they were absolutely holy. They absolutely, everything in their lives were in perfect alignment with God and with God's will. And he allowed them, as we know, as part of their free will, to go through a test. And it was a test that they failed. They didn't actually 100% fail it. They just kind of like 85% failed it, more or less, which is why we have the chance for salvation. And even during when you read the book of Genesis, you see Eve is like, the devils are like, did God really tell you you can't eat of any of the trees? And she's like, well, I didn't exactly say that. He just said, you can't eat from the one in the center, which is true, or even touch it, which was already a lie. So she was already getting squirming. But she was trying for a while to hold out, and then she finally just gave in. Like many of us do when we see a temptation, right? So that's the origin, though. God created a holy man and a holy woman, and these were the beginnings of humanity. And God, when he came about and he wanted to redeem us, he wanted to redeem us not just by being God, because God could have just said, you know what, you guys have messed up long enough, I'm just going to fix you once and for all. You're fixed. No, he decided for our own dignity. He wanted our redemption. He wanted us to have skin in the game. He wanted us to be part of our own redemption. So, since we couldn't do it on our own, he became one of us. He became true God and true man so that humanity took part in its own redemption, right? That's Jesus. Now, the problem with this equation is that only represents Adam. Jesus is the new Adam. Who's going to be the new Eve? Well, we know it's his mother. Now, here comes another little conundrum. Adam did not marry his mother, right? Adam and Eve were the original matrimony. They were husband and wife. Mary and Jesus are mother and son. Something weird is going on. Why did God work that way? Why didn't God create a holy man, Jesus, and a holy immaculate woman, and then get married and move on? Never thought of that one, did you? Huh. Well, good thing you have me here, because now I'm going to tell you. The reason is because Jesus, I know this is going to shock you, Jesus is a married man. Like, how can he be a married man? He's a virgin. He's a married man. Jesus married the church. Therefore, and that was always his goal, in marrying the church, he is in a certain sense restoring humanity because he's marrying humanity back to God. Through grace, what God wants to do with us when he makes us holy is, just like in marriage, you have one free man who's, you know, hopefully free and relatively intelligent, and one free woman who's hopefully free and relatively intelligent, and they, through the grace of God, freely choose to consecrate themselves to each other and to God through the sacrament so that the two become one, right? The same thing happens in the human soul with sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the life of God dwelling in the soul. So it means God is there and our soul is there, and sanctifying grace, it's like a marriage. That's why we say holy people are holy. We don't just say, you know, I don't say the tabernacle's holy. The tabernacle contains Jesus. It contains God himself. But the gold box is not necessarily holy. It's just a box. Even if I blessed it, even if whatever. But it's just a box in the end of the day, right? But a human being can become holy. A human being is called to and can become a saint. Who is a saint? A saint is a person, ultimately, where that marriage between the human soul and God through sanctifying grace takes place. And the two become one. That's why when you look at a saint, you see the human being, but you also kind of see God. You've seen pictures of Padre Pio, and it's just like there's something different about this guy. He's not like Father Eric, I assure you. You've seen John Paul II, you've seen Mother Teresa, you've seen holy people. Maybe you know some holy people where, sure, they have their personality, they have their defects, but nonetheless, God shines through them, even with their humanity, right? Okay, that means that marriage between the human soul and God is taking place, and the two have become, at least to a certain extent, the two have become one. And that happened because Jesus wanted to, in a certain sense, marry humanity through his church. His church is the bride. The church is called gradually to transform the world. So therefore, Mary, who is the new Eve, is not going to be his wife. So God's trying to change things up a little bit. But he chose nonetheless. He wanted humanity. He wanted there to be a new Adam and a new Eve to fix what the original Adam and the original Eve messed up. And that is why he needed this new Eve to be beautiful, to be perfect, to be holy, to be immaculate. And as I've said in some of my homilies, this is not church doctrine. This is just something that I've heard from a famous exorcist who got this information from Satan himself in an exorcism. So, he was, I actually mentioned it the other day, but Father Ripperger was doing an exorcism, and the demon he was exorcising was actually Lucifer, the head honcho. And he, part of the process is you got to get him to talk. And he asked him, why is the Blessed Virgin Mary such a big deal to you? And he said it is because she never, ever, ever took herself into consideration. Every single moment of her life was oriented towards doing God's will. Now, she didn't always have a clear idea what God's will was. You know, like any human being, she had to discern and hem and haw, but she always desired. She always used every ounce of her intellect and her will and everything she had to seek to please God, to glorify God, to love. Okay? That is what the old Eve was called to do. And Mary, as the new Eve, was that woman who was always faithful, always docile, always available, and who united herself absolutely to the salvific work of her Son, Jesus Christ. And so I don't know if this is confusing you, but this is really what the Immaculate Conception is about. It is about the restoration of humanity through a new Adam, through a new Eve, who, by their absolute perfect fidelity and holiness, allowed God to redeem and restore humanity. And finally, then, she's also an image of what we are called to. Now, obviously, none of us, no matter how holy we ever get, none of us is ever going to be as holy as the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's not like we're always going to be looking up at her. But she is an image of the Church itself. She is an image and also a promise of what God wants to do in us, if we are faithful. Maybe to a lesser extent, because we're not as generous, we're not as open, we don't give ourselves as radically to Christ as she did. But she is an image and a promise for what God wants to bring about in each one of us if we are holy, if we work with God, if we cooperate with God. And that also is, it's like he's giving us this feast in order to recognize it is worth the fight. This is what I can do with you. So often we struggle and we chase after stuff that's just not worth it. And he's saying, look, this is the goal. This is the end game. I want to make something like this out of you. And to the extent that we allow Christ to do his thing in us, we will become more and more like that.